Here is a reading from the Gospel, Genesis 1:26-28. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish, the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but in the quiet, to hear you speak, word of God speak. Would you pour down washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, to hear you say, word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me say rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
And all the people said amen. Thank you. This morning we continue our fall sermon series entitled Reclaiming Jesus. This series is based on the statement of faith in times of crisis produced by a national ecumenical coalition which met and worked together earlier this year and was designed to enlist and encourage Christians to actively stand for and pledge to live out the values of Jesus, our Christ. These values are listed here on the slide and on our banner outside. Values such as love, justice, peace, equality, compassion. You can read the full statement of faith at reclaimingjesus.org. Today, as we are looking deeper into the statement's words on inclusion, here is what it says in part. We believe each human being is made in God's image and likeness. That image and likeness confers a divinely decreed dignity, worth, and God-given equality to all of us as children of the one God who is the creator of all things. Racial bigotry is a brutal denial of the image of God in some of the children of God. Our participation in the global community of Christ absolutely prevents any toleration of racial bigotry. Racial justice and healing are biblical and theological issues for us and are central to the mission of the body of Christ in the world. We give thanks for the prophetic role of the historic black churches in America when they have called for a more faithful gospel. What this statement does not include is some of the other forms of exclusion, bigotry, or oppression which are so relevant and prevalent in our world today. LGBT people are not included in their statement, although it does go on to cover other forms of exclusion such as misogyny, class, and gender, going so far as to confess sexism as a sin and one which requires both repentance and resistance. We here at Hollywood UMC, of course, believe this was a serious oversight on their behalf and have intentionally included the inclusion of all people in this statement because we know here and we live out here in all that we do that all means all. Each and every one of us is created in the image of God and called to be in covenantal relationship with God and with each other, excluding no one, and responsible for the love, care, and relationship with every living thing that moves over the face of the earth. I'm a big fan of reality TV, and have just finished watching the end of a series of a new show called Castaways. A dozen or so people were all stranded on a cluster of desert islands and left to fend for themselves for an unspecified period of time with few resources. What they did have each was a suitcase which belonged to one of the other castaways and contained various supplies such as clothes, food, knives, etc., and a journal which had been started by whoever the suitcase belonged to. Only 5 people of the 12 made it to the end, which came at around 45 days or so. What was so fascinating for me was that the ones who did make it through were those who had decided not to go it alone, but to seek out the others and try to live together, pooling their resources and developing relationships with each other, which would support them throughout the time they were there. The final episode started with a quote from Henry Ford. Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. There had been a rogue group of 2 men who were sharing their space together. And when a third man came to join them, they became resentful of the drain he added to their meager resources, and after a few days, told him he had to leave and go find others. Once their own resources had started to dwindle to a worrying level, they realized they had been wrong in their actions and set about making it right. They went and found the journal of the man they had cast out and took it to him where he was now in encampment with the other remaining 2 castaways. Reparation was made, and they all shared what they had left, pulled their skill sets together, and feasted on what was to become their last meal together as a result of these joint efforts and shared community. Only at this point, when community was established amongst them, did their rescuers arrive and take them home. They were a real mixed bunch of people, this final group. 1 woman and 4 men, some with families, some single, a race car driver and a musician, from different states and all different ages, with different heritages and traditions. And yet they had all realized a fundamental truth. They needed each other. They needed relationship with each other. They needed to care for each other in order for each one of them to thrive. And this is our calling as Christians, as people of God who have been appointed the task of caring for all living things on earth. This means looking outside of our comfort zones, going to places where we do not always feel so comfortable and acting out this call there. Our church is not limited to the walls of this building or to the people with whom we share this space. Our church is everywhere we go and every person we encounter and everywhere we look. As we reflect on this past week and the social media feeds full of statements from men and women describing their experiences, we realize that the extreme brokenness and pain held by so much of our society and by so many who we call family and friends and those people that make up our community. Bishop Karen Oliveto posted in response, "If places like church and people, those we call family and friends, are not safe enough so that we can grow and flourish without fear of harm, is it any wonder why our communities are places of so much turmoil and pain? When someone's personhood is reduced to a thing to be used, abused, or discarded, we have failed mightily to see the image of God that person possesses. And our harmful treatment causes them to begin to doubt that they are indeed a beloved child of God, worthy of care and compassion. This breach spills out beyond our interpersonal relationships and into the world. The earth bears the scars of our failure to reverence the gift God has given us in nature and the responsibility we have been bestowed by God to be careful stewards of it. The very first words spoken to humans by God are those we heard this morning in our scripture. Take care of everything on earth. Be responsible for all living things. God begins our covenantal relationship with a command to be loving and caring to all, and we are called to honor and work towards this in all we do. Anne Hathaway recently received the National Ally for Equality Award at the Human Rights Campaign National Dinner in Washington, and in her acceptance speech, she made the following statement. It is important to acknowledge that with the exception of being a cisgender male, everything about how I was born has put me at the current center of a damaging and widely accepted myth. That myth is that gayness orbits around straightness, transgender orbits around cisgender, and that all races orbit around whiteness. She went on to add that authentic equality doesn't prioritize sexual orientation. It doesn't put any one gender or race at the center. It doesn't erase our identities either. What it does do is centralize love. And when love is fully centralized, every door opens for everybody. We as a Christian community know about that centralized love, the love of God which Jesus illustrated for us all so clearly in all he did. We here experience that community where we are with people who are like us, people who think in similar ways, who believe as we believe, and who sometimes look as we look. But this too can get us in trouble if we don't look at extending the boundaries of our community, if our boundaries are too solid and meant to keep other people out. Each and every one of us have felt excluded at some time in our lives. We suddenly find ourselves sitting outside the circle. And even if we were once in it, it feels like someone moved the boundary line and it doesn't feel good. How many of you here are middle children? Let's have a show of hands. Sisters and brothers, I feel your pain. I was raised as the middle child of three girls. Often too old for sharing activities with my younger sibling and not old enough to be allowed to do whatever the older one was doing. And always feeling that need to fight for a share of the attention and to hold on to it once I had got it, not allowing any to be shared with anyone else. And yet Jesus, as part of the Holy Trinity, wants us to be included in that intimate relationship. In fact, invites us to be part of it and to be loved and valued as a member of it. In John chapter 3, we are reminded that Jesus was sent for every one of us because God loved the world so much. There are no conditions attached to this. Everyone is invited in and included. We don't have to be of a certain gender or race, to speak a certain language, identify as a certain sexuality, or any of the other attributes for which humanity has decided we can be excluded. The problem can come when we forget what it feels like to be on the outside of that circle and looking in at everyone else. We aren't aware of what other people have been through in their lives, what baggage they carry, or what lessons society has taught them. And yet what we do know is that at the core of every one is the desire to belong, to be part of something, and to be loved. Too often we can think we are not smart enough, not pretty enough, not fill in the blank enough. And then God sends Jesus into our story, and Jesus meets us right where we are. Jesus spent time with everyone, excluding none. He went out of his way to spend time with those people who were on the outside looking in, excluded from the norms of society at the time. The unpopular, the sick, the sinners, because Jesus cared for them all without exception. In his book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, Marcus Borg writes, Jesus saw the divinity in all people, and he challenged all men to see the good, the God self, in all people with whom they associated. Although discrimination in Jesus' day may have centered around gender, health, social status, and religious practices, it could just as easily have been discrimination based on nationality, ethnicity, race, and sexuality, and gender, as we see today. We have read the stories, we know the paths Jesus took, and we have an open, unwritten journal ahead of us, giving space for us to write the continuation, the story of Jesus in our lives, and how we can reclaim Jesus into a world where so many are left outside, wanting in, needing to be included, to be loved, and to share in the glorious gift we have been given. We haven't been asked by God to pick and choose those we want to be on our team. We aren't sitting on God's selection committee, only choosing those who fit into whatever model we decide is acceptable. We are called to share God's love with everyone, to include all people. And when we do this, we get to see the amazing works of redemption which happen when people encounter Jesus and their lives are changed as they become included in this great loving relationship. I am sure many of us feel that what may seem so simple and easy to God is not the same for us. It seems so much harder to include everyone. Luckily, God doesn't simply say to us, okay, so you gotta love everyone and include them in everything. Oh, and good luck with that. No, we are equipped and empowered by and through our relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Luckily for us, the disciples didn't decide their circle was big enough as it was. They went out and spread the word to whoever they encountered, sharing the joyous news of God's all-inclusive and all-encompassing love for us and making it accessible to everyone they come across. This is what we are called to do. And with the relationship we have with a God who created each one of us in God's image, we are empowered and equipped to do exactly as the disciples did. At the very heart of the message of inclusiveness exemplified by Jesus are the words of Matthew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Jesus put no qualifiers on his example of how we love one another. Through his life, his teachings and examples, we see clearly that to live with an open and inclusive heart is to know the meaning of heaven on earth, is to know that truly we are one. Amen.